Good morning and greetings to each one of you. It's good to be here with you this morning, and thank you, Johnny, for sharing what the Lord laid on your heart. And I was blessed by that. As far as I was concerned, he could have kept going on that. It kind of was going down the same trail as to where I felt like the Lord led my heart. And this morning I felt led to look a little bit at the life of David. David was very interesting character. He was a man after God's own heart. And so we're going to be turning to Samuel, the book of Samuel this morning. We're going to be starting in chapter 16. We don't really find too much about David's family. But it seems pretty apparent from the material and from what we see out of David's life, that he came from a godly family. And studying into it, and it's interesting, I probably should have known this a long time ago, but I went and asked my wife about it yesterday when I saw it, and she's like, oh yeah, I knew that a long time ago. I was like, well, of course, you're always smarter than me. But anyways, Boaz and Ruth were David's great-grandparents. That was something I never knew before. So I found that very interesting. I was like, okay, wow, this kind of shows us a little bit where David probably would have gotten his influence. He was, you know, grandchild or great-grandchild. But then also Obed, who would have been Jesse or David's grandfather, there's not really too much information on him either that I could find. But his name, Obed, in and of itself means to worship or to serve. You can't necessarily take that and say, okay, well, he loved God. But it would seem like possibly Ruth and Boaz, they had maybe a vision for Jesse, and they knew what they wanted to see in their son. And so I would tend to believe that Obed was also a man of God and just passed that torch on down through to David, or I'm sorry, to Jesse. And then Jesse, you know, again, passed it down to David. And again, you don't really see much of Jesse either. But Jesse's household was a very, very critical to the throne of Israel or to the lineage or the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus, I think, is often referred to as the son of Jesse. But what do we see here as far as David? You know, again, you know, we don't really see. I told my wife this morning on the way to church, I said it'd be really interesting to read more, to know more about David, you know, as a little boy, you know, growing up and what all he went through. Or, you know, I'm sure, you know, I know what it's like to be a young man, you know, and have to deal with the struggle, you know, of rebellion or, you know, respect or, you know, all that stuff. I'm sure David, he was human. I'm sure he struggled with all that. I'm sure he was just as human as anybody, any one of us. Thank you, Titus. And, you know, I don't think he was just born a perfect person. I think he was born as very much human as we are. But we see David here, where we first start reading about him. He was a lowly shepherd boy, caring for his father's sheep. And, you know, shepherds in the Bible, I think, were often not necessarily the best character. They weren't necessarily looked at as the best people. I think they tended to be a little bit, I don't know what the correct word is, but they weren't necessarily looked up to, we'll put it that way. But David, he was caring, he spent a lot of his days caring for his father's sheep out in the pastures. He had his harp, and I believe that it was during those times, you know, out there in the pastures or on the hills, you know, caring for the sheep. You know, I think that obviously Jesse, his father and his grandfather and all those, I'm sure put a lot of time and effort into, I'm imagining put a lot of time and effort into David's life, that led him to a belief in God and even a relationship with God. But I think that time out there in the pastures with the sheep, maybe studying the sheep and, you know, shepherding them, playing his harp, I believe it was a time for David of growing closer to God. And it was a time that God was using to prepare David for what he had in store later on, calling him to be the king. And I'm very impressed, very blessed by what we see coming out of David, you know. And I think it was that time that David had alone with God. And it made me think, you know, how often, you know, do we, when we're going about our work or whatever God gave us to do, you know, how often do we think of God, or do we allow that to draw us closer to God? And it's, you know, something that I want to do more of and see more of in my life. I'm going to start reading here in 1 Samuel 16. So in all this, you know, God was preparing David, but Samuel 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king amongst his sons. And this here, you know, obviously was David, but, you know, Samuel at this point didn't realize who it was, and Jesse had seven sons. In verse 2, and Samuel said, "How can I go if Saul hears? He will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And just very, very apparent here, you know, even Samuel in his earthly mind, you know, he comes and he first looks and he's like, well, he looks like a strong person. He looks like he's really capable. You know, that's what he starts looking at. And I think we tend to look at that too. And I just wanted to, you know, to point out here, so often I think as humans, we like to try to take that verse and say, well, it doesn't really matter what's on the outside. It's just what matters is in the heart. Yes, that's true, but I think we're taking that a little bit out of context. I think God wants it to begin on the inside, and he wants what's on the inside in our heart to be outflowing and see the outworking on the outside. So God was looking at David's heart. He was not looking at the outward appearance here. We're just going to continue reading there in verse 8. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So here we see, you know, like I said, you know, David was in the pasture, you know, carrying the sheep, you know, learning to shepherd. And I believe that it would appear like he was doing that with all of his heart, you know, and God was prepping him. And then he comes to this time here where God, I just find it very interesting in verse 1 there, where it says, "I have provided myself a king amongst his sons." You know, David had, I don't think, I mean, I guess we don't know that, but I don't believe David had any clue what was coming. Maybe, you know, I guess you never know, maybe there's something in his heart that told him something big was going to happen. But we don't know that, I guess. But God, you know, was doing that work there and prepping David. And then he tells Samuel, "I have provided myself a king." And then we see Jesse sends his sons before Samuel. And, of course, they start with the oldest, you know, the strongest, probably the wisest. He was living the longest, you know. But right on down through, and it was none of them. But then the one, of course, you know, that they thought surely wasn't the one, which was David, out in the pastures. That was the one God had called and chosen. And so it doesn't matter. We don't have to become great or mighty or do big things to be used by God. But it's a matter of having that relationship with God and being in the connection and you know, being open to God's leading and what he has for us. And I believe that's where David in his heart was. I just want to turn over to Psalm 78. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Psalm 78 and verse 70 to 72. And he, speaking of God, also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So here we see that David was a man of integrity. You know, that's one, the first one, you know, that I want to bring out about David is he was a man of integrity. Are we men of integrity? That there was obviously going to be very important when it came to leading as a king, leading God's people. The other thing too that I wanted to bring out, and that is that of God's ways being above our ways. You know, that was, I forgot to mention that there. You know, when referring to Samuel, when they were trying to choose the king, you know, God's ways are above our ways, and above what we think. And just also turn over to Psalms 147. Psalms 147, verses 10 and 11. He, and again, this is, I believe, speaking of God, does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. So here I believe also David was a man who feared God, and he reverenced God. And I believe that was exactly why God was looking. That's why God chose him out of, you know, I think all of his other brothers. I mean, we don't know, we don't really know too much of David's brothers, but later on we're going to be, say, I think getting a little bit of a taste at least of David's older brother, you know, where they were at. But God, I believe, was choosing David because of his fear, his reverence for God. It was during this time that of anointing, I believe, David would have been, from what I could find, I think would have been 20 years old. And I never realized just how long it was, but from the time when David was chosen by God and Samuel anointed him, till he actually got put in as the king was 10 years from what I could find. So he would have got anointed at 20, and then at 30 is when he would have actually, like after Saul was killed in battle, then David would have become the king. And then if we continue on there in verse 16, we see after David was anointed there, then it says, well, actually we're going to back up to 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. One other thing I wanted to pull out there is I look back to where Saul would have been, and I didn't dig into it a whole lot, so it'd be interesting to dig into it more, and if you just want to study into it, it would be interesting to know. But back when Saul was anointed, he was anointed with just a little, I can't think of the term now, but it was just a real little bottle of oil. And I believe Saul was anointed because his people were crying out to God and just begging and begging, you know. And I think it was one of these things where children of Israel, like how many other times before, they're crying and begging God, you know, come on, give us a king, give us a king. Finally, just, you know, gives them a king because that's what their hearts wanted. But yeah, Saul was anointed and they used a little bottle of oil. But then we jump over here and we see David, where God actually chose David and he wanted David to be the king. Then we see here Samuel's anointing him with a horn of oil. So you see the volume difference. It's kind of, I don't know if I'm going down a bunny trail. I shouldn't, but it was just very interesting to think about, you know, that versus what the people were crying for and wanted versus what God wanted. You know, it was God's will, and so that's where God blessed in that. And so just a little side note that I thought was interesting. I wouldn't mind studying into more. But anyway, so then after we see David being anointed here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And it was at that point then when we go into verse 14 that we see the Spirit of the Lord leave Saul. And then we have the distressing spirit that comes upon Saul. So we begin reading there in 14. I guess we're going to read to the end of the chapter. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well, and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him." I just want to just pull that out there. You know, it's one of Saul's servants here singing, David is a man of valor. He's prudent. And I don't see that necessarily. I think he was a man of valor when it came to living for the Lord. And he was prudent in speech, but the Lord was with him. It's very apparent that David here had a relationship with God, because the Lord was with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So here I find it very interesting, you know, at this point, you know, David, now anointed by Samuel, because God had chosen him for the next king, and the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and we see, I just find it very interesting that David was able to come like that, even after being anointed and being able to play his harp for Saul to soothe him and to soothe his the distressing spirit. And then also, if we continue on into Samuel 17, we can see there David was again, after he was anointed, serving his father and his brothers. You know, he was even serving his father, you know, up until then, but he continued from what we read. Just begin reading here in chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. I'm going to start in verse 10 here. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day, and give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So here we have the whole army of Israel, and they hear, you know, the Philistine coming out like this and talking, and they're all filled with fear. Now David was the son. Verse 12. Now David was a son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years, in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and third Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So here we see he's still, you know, serving his father, working for his father. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So after a while, this would get really old. You know, you got a whole army here and they're all scared, and for 40 days they're being taunted by this Philistine. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So here you again, you see him fleeing. These are supposed to be, it's supposed to be the army of God, and they're fleeing because of his size. And obviously, you know, if you look at the beginning of the chapter there, his armor was extremely heavy and out of this world. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." So this sounds, you know, tempting if you want to look at it in the human perspective. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And here we see David has a bit of a different perspective. He's I don't think he was looking at it. I mean, I guess we can't say he didn't have any human reasoning in it, but it would seem like he had a much higher thing in mind. You know, thinking of this Philistine defying the armies of the living God. It was disturbing to him to see that. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the innocence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. So here we get a little bit of a taste of David's brothers, you know, probably a little bit proud. It seemed like they could have been a little bit proud and arrogant because, you know, they're the older brothers, you know, they're going to war, you know, and David, he has to stay home and take care of the few sheep, as he says here. So he's kind of looking down on David. And I do find it interesting because he looks at David and says, you know, I know the pride of your heart. And I don't know, I mean, I guess I can't say for sure, but I would tend to believe that. I don't think it was the pride of his heart, but he was doing as his father said. And then he sees the armies of the living God being defied in front of his eyes, and that caused something to rise up inside of him. And verse 29, and David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing as these people answered him, as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I'm going to just cease reading there for a little. So we see here, verses 32 through 37, we see David is also courageous. He's a courageous man, you know, and we see him going back to his experience there on the hills when he was caring for the sheep, you know. And again, you know, I think God preparing him for what he was going to be facing later on. You see him facing the bear, and you see him facing the lion and saving his flock from them. And I believe that David realized that God was with him at that point. He realized it was God that helped him through that. And we see him here again, you know, from his past experience that God was with him. We see him having a trust in God and a reliance on God that, you know, God was going to help him to defeat the Goliath, who was the enemy of his people. And so I was blessed by seeing that the courageousness there. You know, again, he's 20 years old, and it's almost unthinkable if you stop and think about it. Then we're going to continue reading there. Verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling. So here we see him doing away with man's way of doing war, and David choosing to trust God to hand the battle to him, just as he had in the past. Continue on verse 4 there. I'm going to just start in verse 40 there. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So again, we here see him cursing David and the army of God. Again, I'm sure David, this is just getting David uptight because he feared God and he did not like to see God being mocked. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." So here we see David realizing and proclaiming that God is with him, that he's trusting in God, that God is going to hand him over into David's hands. Then David said that to Israel, whom you have defied, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their camp was dead, that their champion was dead, they fled. I just stopped reading there. So again, here we see David's courageousness. He wasn't afraid to step up to a challenge, especially when it was challenging the armies of God, when it came to mocking God's army. We see here that David, see coming out of this, is that David had a strong passion and a love for God, and I believe that there is what was a huge part of what drove him to want to defeat this enemy of God, or the enemy of God's army. And, up to this point, there was different times, that David, I'm just jumping back a little bit, David was coming into verse 18. David was playing, for Saul because of his distressing, or his distressed spirit. But then as we come into verse 18 here, as we see David coming out of his victory there, God was with him, but was not with Saul anymore. Now we start seeing Saul getting a little bit uptight here, because I think he's starting to pick up now that God was with David and not with him. So we're going to just go into chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house any more. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, and behaved wisely. So here we see, and we're going to see this numerous times, here we see that David was a man of wisdom. God filled him with wisdom, and I believe He had that wisdom because he sought God for it, and he had a relationship with God. He behaved wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. So here we see Saul really picking up that God was with David here, and now he starts fearing for his kingdom because he sees that God is blessing David, and he sees the potential, I think, here for David to rise up as the next king. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. So here, you know, again, we see David being courageous, you know, going in and playing before Saul, even though he knew Saul, I believe he knew Saul was angry at him. He went in and played for him. I believe it was twice that David actually was able to escape Saul's spear. David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So here we see that Saul is afraid of David because he realizes that the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So here again, you know, we see it multiple times that David was wise in his actions. He was wise with his words. And this caused fear to rise up in Saul's heart, because he realized that God was not blessing him. God was regretting that he had ever anointed King Saul. And then as we go into Samuel 19, I'm not going to read it, but Samuel, we go through Samuel 19 and chapter 19 through 23, we see Saul, he just continually now has a hatred, has a real hatred for David, because he sees David rising and taking his kingdom from him, you know, and God is blessing his efforts. And then we come into, jump over to Samuel 24. You know, after all this time where David was anointed and he was serving his father, he was serving his brothers, and then he was even serving Saul, you know, playing for Saul and, you know, constantly then he was on the run, you know, through 19 and 23 especially, he was on the run from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. Then we come into chapter 24. Just turn over there to chapter 24. I'm going to read the whole chapter, I guess. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe, and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you." As a proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and the judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand." So it was, when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me, for when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good, for you have done this. What have you done this to me this day? And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house." So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So here we see, after David was chased by Saul for so long and being treated unfairly, if you will, he still did not take Saul into his own hands. You know, even after God, he knew he was going to be the next king. God anointed him to be the next king. He still spared Saul's life. And that was so. David had the perfect chance. And he had every reason in human reasoning that he needed to take Saul's life. I mean, he was right in front of him. And that wasn't the only time that happened. There was another time, too. I forget which chapter it was. I wasn't going to go there. But there was a second time as well that they came and found Saul and his army were sleeping. And they stepped over him and he took Saul's spear, I believe it was. And again, he had the perfect chance if he wanted to take Saul's life. But here I think we see David having the relationship with God. He understood God's plan, and he was following after God in that. It was David's love and reverence for God that kept him from touching the anointed king. And so what can we learn from the life of David? We might not face a Goliath, a giant Goliath, as David did. But what giants or what things are we facing or going to face in our lives? How are we going to handle that? Are we going to fear God through them? Are we going to trust God as David did? Are we going to be courageous? That's who David was. And obviously this is just a very small portion, you know. I'm not quite sure how to put everything together as far as David. I mean, you could probably have a couple messages on it, because, you know, David continues on, you know, from when, you know, to when Saul died, and then he has there's the experience with Abigail and Nabal, where he was going to go kill Nabal because of his actions, and then Abigail came out and stopped him, and then from there, then he, you know, he fell into sin, you know, after he became king, fell into sin with Bathsheba, and, you know, killed her husband. And but then coming out of that, you see David still falling back on that relationship that he had with God and realizing God's sovereignty. And then you see David coming out of that and repenting, but then you see him reaping from what he had sowed, you know, the rest of his life. You know, right on the tail end, his sons were doing a lot of the same things that he did, and so the sword did not depart from David's house. But through all of that, you know, I think God knew that David was going to be making those mistakes. He was human. We're going to make mistakes. But God was not looking at David. He didn't call David a man after his own heart because he was going to be perfect. But he called David a man after his own heart because he realized how David's heart was turned towards him and how he reverenced him. So David was a man that feared God. He was a man, I believe he was a man of humility. And he was a man that was filled with wisdom. David also had a passionate love for God. He was courageous. He trusted in God. He trusted in God to lead him, to hand the battle to him. And he was a man of integrity. So let's go from here and let's be all those that David was. And let's seek after God and love him above all else. Thank you.